This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. And good morning, my friend. It is 7 minutes after 9 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday morning talk show on this November 9th, 2011. I'm Terry Tote, alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus, by unanimous vote of one.
I voted for myself.
There you go.
Yeah.
Today's program brought to you by the Plummer Funeral Home in Litchfield. I always wanted to qualify that, just to make
sure people know that
it was a scientific...
Our viewing audience of millions need to know where that one boat come from.
God. Our guest in studio today is a good friend of ours, Tom Emery, and we've been scattering ourselves all over the subject matter here prior to going on the air. So we're going to talk about something that's interesting. I'll just say that, right, Tom?
We're really going to do that, Terry, huh?
We're going to do that. After the break, we're going to come back and we're just going to start talking and see what we end up talking about. But I do know that you have been able to go around and speak to a lot of various groups historical aspects of Illinois and the Civil War, amongst other subject matter. So we'll come back and talk about that. First things first, though, we have to do a little business. Hear from the Plummer Funeral Home back in 30 seconds.
At Plummer Funeral Home, after many years of service, we remain committed to providing the most caring, professional funeral services in this area. It is our mission to provide each family with the very best in quality care during what is often the most difficult of circumstances. At Plummer Funeral Home, we have never taken for granted the confidence families place in us, and we promise to always go the extra mile to earn your trust. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And once I'm done with my career in broadcasting, we're going to have to release all the stuff off the air that people didn't hear, Ralph.
Yeah.
The director's cut.
But
because some of that stuff's pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you have to be about 50 to listen.
It depends. It would probably depend on what your sense of humor is, but we think it's funny.
Yeah, we think it's funny. We think it's funny. Oh, well. Tom, good morning, sir. It's always a pleasure to have you in studio. You are one of the most, I tell you what, there's not a subject matter that you can't speak on, it seems like.
And, for better or worse.
For better or worse, but it's always for better when you come and visit us.
Thank you.
First off, I know the last time we had a chance to talk, you were had just done some information on the Civil War and how Illinois fit into that picture. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, obviously, the word's gotten out, and you have been a very busy man speaking to various organizations.
I have a number of speaking engagements in recent weeks because Illinois and the Civil War is in great demand. A lot of people know more about it, particularly with the current Civil War sesquicentennial. The fact that Illinois had such a rich history in the Civil War, a lot of people don't realize that. They want to learn more, and I've been happy to been able to talk to a lot of people about that.
And I never realized how Illinois fit into the picture mm-hmm. with the Civil War and the history there. And not just the Civil War, but really a lot of history on how our country was shaped. Mm-hmm. Illinois had a terrific influence.
Did Illinois sent the fourth highest number of men off to the Civil War. Sent 259,000 men. That trailed only New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. They lost 34,800, which is the third highest of any state, trailing on New York and Ohio. Illinois is important for a number of reasons. Its size, the fact it was by a number of major rivers, Mississippi and Ohio, the fact it was Lincoln's home state is obvious, but if you think about the 1860 presidential election, the top two candidates, Lincoln and Douglas, are both from Illinois.
Right. And we forget that fact mm-hmm. sometimes.
Yeah. Illinois, you have to remember, too, we were the West. If you think about America in 1860, how many states are further west than Illinois? Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, California, and Oregon have been formed. We were considered the West. If you read the papers from New York and Washington, we were called the West, out West, the Western generals.
Right.
So we were still a bit of the frontier.
And when the baseball Cardinals used to be the westernmost team, mm-hmm. That was kind of an accurate description of how the United States was back in the 18th and 19th centuries.
Right. I believe they consider the frontier closed around 1890 or something like that. Now, people debate that. I'm not saying that. But in 1860, Illinois was still very much the West, and we were actually still considered part of the old Northwest of Jeffersonian days. To prove that, just ask yourself, why do we have a Northwestern University here in Illinois?
I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Now it dawns mm-hmm. on me. Illinois was it part of the Louisiana Purchase?
Yeah. No.
No, that was to the west of us, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Missouri side
mm-hmm.
and up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating, and I've been so removed for so many years from geography and history lessons. But when you look back on how all this fits together, it's a pretty amazing bit of history that Illinois has and the influence it has had. Where have you spoken, Tom? Where have your travels taken you?
I've been in Mount Vernon, Carlisle, Washington, Illinois. I was in Heron, Illinois. Carlisle's fun. I've been treated very well at all these places I've spoken. I was in Maryville, Illinois a few nights ago. I've been treated extremely well at these places. I've had very good receptive crowds. I've spoke off and on for 14 years on different subjects. This topic, Illinois and Civil War, has got more audience feedback than anything else. People come, they want to learn. I hate to call it a classroom setting, but people's hands are going up all the time. My talks even get a little ragged at times because people are asking so many questions. I can't believe the feedback this has got.
And I don't know about you, but every history class I ever took about the United States, we always got to the Civil War and then the school year was over. So what I thought was I was familiar with the Civil War history-wise, I wasn't. I mean, I come up way short on the information.
I don't want any teachers to get on me about saying this, but I think the Civil War could be taught differently, taught better in a lot of classrooms because it's something we all need to understand, even the ugly aspects of it, because it did define who we are as American people. And a lot of aspects of the Civil War that we still struggle with today.
You know, the Civil War itself could be one whole year, one class for one whole school year.
See, I would love that. Yeah. And, you know, some colleges and universities offer that. Even community college levels offer classes specifically on the Civil War. I think that's great, and I think we need more of that. And we were talking earlier today, I think more of Illinois history could be taught as well, because we do have, for all of our political escapades we've had in this state, we have a fun, rich history here in Illinois that everyone really should understand.
Yeah. Of course, I guess because younger generations today and the Civil War, plain and simple, was a long time ago. And it's amazing when you listen to someone like yourself speak on the subject or the history of the state of Illinois. It's amazing. We sit there, and I know myself, I sit there and I think, you know, how little I really know about the state I've lived in all my life.
Yeah, and I go ahead. I'm sorry.
One aspect of the Civil War that was brought about that was not available to wars prior to that was the fact we have some photographic evidence of what went on. We have a lot of historical material, both from two sides of the battle there. Mm-hmm. So we have a rich, a very wealthy amount of information that we can delve into to discuss and learn about the Civil War.
A remarkable number of letters were left, a remarkable number of regimental histories have been left, firsthand accounts. Part of it's because of our size, but Illinois men left a lot of great firsthand accounts. If you're a researcher like me, that's a gold mine.
Yeah.
And people don't realize how divided Illinois was as well. Lincoln's support, in a political sense, if you think of a line from Rock Island to Kankakee on north, those are the counties that carried him in both the elections of 1860 and 1864. Macoupin County voted against him both times for president. He ran. So did Montgomery County. Most counties that around him. He only carried Springfield by 10 votes in his 1864 re-election campaign. He didn't, and it was not enough for him to carry Sagamon County. If you go further south, you get toward the Marion area. In the 1860 election, they're voting against Lincoln 8-9-10-1.
Wow. Well, I would assume that would be the case in southern Illinois, but I didn't realize how dominant his popularity was in the northern tier of counties.
If you look at Kane, Cook, Kendall, Lake counties from Chicago, Winnebago County, and Rockford area, those are really what put Lincoln over the top in those elections. That was where his strength was. You get to our areas, even like Peoria was very split on him. Our area was leaning against him. It got kind of dicey.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Kind of like the Cardinal Cubs scenario. You know, you get north, it's Cubs, and you get down our area, it's basically Cardinals. But
or Lugnuts.
The Lansing Lugnuts.
You got to get that in there.
We got that in there. There we go.
There's a Lugnut. But Tom, we're talking about here the history of the state of Illinois and the Civil War. And perhaps a lot of people, self-included, don't realize, and you touched on it a minute ago, how divided some families were with the Civil War.
And a lot of people like to romanticize the Civil War and say brother against brother. That was true. That happened sometimes. I think it's a bit overrated because I think more accurately neighbor against neighbor, friend against friend, relative against relative. if we haven't, we actually had supposedly a Civil War action in this area, in the Ramsey Van Buren'sburg area, the Klingman Raid in the summer of 1864, and I say supposedly because there's a lot of unanswered questions. There have been some misdeeds, robberies, beatings in that area, supposedly done by a band of Confederates who were here to try to drum up anti-war sentiment. We don't know what happened. We don't know if they were ever here, but the Klingman Raid, it may be more legend than fact, but it was something that really had this air in a tizzy in the summer of 1864.
Now, we're talking, put ourselves in the right frame of mind and describe the area that we live in now. What was it like back then?
We were remarkably well populated, but certainly very much agricultural. Keep in mind that from Cardinalville to Springfield is a two-day ride on horseback.
Okay.
Yeah. Lincoln had spoken a lot of these areas, but it was still not completely settled, still a frontier. The railroads only came through here about 10 years before the Civil War. Most railroads came through these areas in the early 1850s, 1851, 1854, like
and they,
that.
And they didn't have all these sidelines that they would go to the smaller towns. Right. You were just the bigger towns, right?
There's still a feel of isolation even there. They didn't know any better. When a number of men signed up for the Civil War, they had not been out of their home counties.
Yeah.
So the world was much, you know, I don't even say bigger or smaller, but their world is much more centered around the home city, the home areas, than it is today by far. It's a lot of people never even seen Abraham Lincoln, didn't know what he looked like, because one, not too many photos have been taken. Two, they couldn't publish them in newspapers back then. So in a lot of ways, you're voting against someone you never seen before.
Yeah. And when Lincoln would travel from Vandalia to Springfield, and there's a couple families in Hillsboro that he used to spend the night with, and that was a 2.5-3 day ride on horseback to go from Springfield to Vandalia, which, you know, the old state capital. But yeah, there's a lot of history out there, and we really it's hard to believe that basically we haven't scratched the surface.
Tom, what has generated the interest in the Civil War? Is it the anniversary celebration?
The sesquicentennial, I think, has brought the Civil War back to light. The sesquicentennial began with the Fort Sumter on April 12, 1861. Will continue through 2015. Because of budget cutbacks, a lot of places, a lot of celebrations have been tempered. But there enough publicity came up that people wanted to learn more about it, see more about it, think more about it, and I think it's what's brought me back into demand as well.
And we look back to World War II and how it shaped the world and shaped the country, but the Civil War had a major shaping of the country.
Well, it not only defined who we are as American people, but there are an awful lot of aspects of Civil War that we struggle with even today.
Yes.
Going on the Civil Rights Movement, which is still being fought 100 years later, and it's still an issue today. There are an awful lot of things about the Civil War that we have a hard time dealing with and hard time handling even today. No matter what race you are, no matter where you live, there's still a lot of things that we have that we're struggling with today.
And we're going to continue to struggle with them. I don't see a final answer, because I think as Americans, we feel like we're all entitled to our opinion. And if we want to feel that way, we have the right to feel that way.
And if you look at some of the issues that are being contested in the southern states, such as South Carolina, Mississippi, it's still a hot-button issue down there for a number of different reasons. And I think it will continue to be so.
Yeah.
When I was in the service with the Korean War in the early 50s, I was amazed, because I spent a lot of my time, Tom, in the southern states that you just mentioned, and Georgia and down that area, in plain words, we were still damn Yankees down there.
And to this day.
It's kind of just the polarizing effect the two parts of the country had, and then the after effects of the Civil War, and how the North developed versus the South.
And I think, and you know, one of my research interests is Missouri in the Civil War. I don't think people realize how divided Missouri was. Missouri had not only some of the most horrific guerrilla activity, they had the third highest number of skirmishes in the war behind Virginia and Tennessee. So Missouri was
in the hills and the hollers in Missouri.
Was a real hot bit. The largest battle in the Civil War in terms of manpower west of Mississippi is fought and was now downtown Kansas City. The one of the catalysts of Missouri was the Camp Jackson Raid on May 10th of 1861, fought a contest on the campus of current campus of St. Louis University. There were Civil War battles on the far northeastern corner of Missouri, farther north than here. And keep that, you know, so that throws kind of things in perspective as well.
Yeah, you forget about the geography and, mm-hmm. and how that shakes out. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, Carroll, Illinois is further south than Richmond, Virginia on a plane.
There you go. Tom, what's the name of the pamphlet that in the book that you put together on this?
Well, I've got several on that, actually.
What's the name of the last one that you did?
I actually did a roster of soldiers from Macoupin County in the Civil War, okay. which is kind of a genealogical reference, which I break down every man who fought in the Civil War from Macoupin County by town, regiment, and company, with some information: did they die in the war, wound in the war, discharged by disability, whatever. That was an interesting project, and I've had a good response to it.
That's great. Let's turn the tables a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about basketball. Blackburn is celebrating its century mm-hmm. anniversary, 100 years of Blackburn mm-hmm. basketball. And you've done some research on that.
Yeah, actually, I've as most people know, I'm a 1993 Blackburn graduate. I've been involved in the athletic department there for a long time. I was actually contracted to put together a commemorative historical booklet on the 100 years of Blackburn basketball to help honor that. And for those of you who don't know, Blackburn College first fielded a basketball team in the 1911-1912 academic year. We have not played 100 years straight. There were several years in the late teens and 20s where it was not played. But it is the oldest sport in that sense on the Blackburn campus. Began with a rather informal basketball game on October 4th, 1911 in Carlinville. If you're an old timer in Carlinville, you might remember the Carlinville Glove Factory, which sat near Ace Hardware. The first game was played against an amateur team from Staunton and Mount Olive on a 39-by-35-foot court with a pole in the middle of it. Blackburn won the game 23-12. Interesting, it was 4 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon when that game was played.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's been on from there. If you have any familiar with Blackburn College, you'll know that the student body of Blackburn College has always supported sports teams extremely well. Basketball is no exception. Even though Blackburn is a small campus with a small student body, there's always been an athletic inclination there. And the support that Blackburn received for basketball over the years in the 40s, 50s, 60s has really been remarkable, and it continues today.
When did they disbanded the program for a while?
There's record of the teams up into the late teens. Uh-huh. They only played one year in the 20s, presumably, because they didn't have a very good playing facility.
Sure.
It came back to stay in 1930, with the exception of 3 years through the Second World War, has been played continuously ever since. Dawes Gymnasium, the Beaver Dome, as we called it, will celebrate its 75th anniversary in 2013. It was dedicated, and the first games played in 1938.
That's probably one of the older facilities around.
And if you ever have a chance to come to a Blackburn basketball game, it's free admission for one thing, and it's like nothing else because it's a small gym, it gets loud, and it's a great atmosphere for basketball. Terry, you've been there,
we broadcast some games over there before, and it's cozy, to say mm-hmm. the least.
They also have new bleachers this year, which is kind of a different look. Yeah. Yes, and a very nice look, I might say.
I remember when we got chased inside the gymnasium during the baseball sectionals.
Oh, yeah.
The thunderstorm and hail and tornadoes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
But I know I've done games with you over there. I've done 2 or 3 games with you over there, actually. Yeah. And Blackburn basketball is a very unique experience. If you ever have a chance, please do it.
I love these gymnasiums where they're a small venue, and you get 50 people in there, and it sounds like you've got a crowd of 1,000. And that's basically Dawes Gymnasium.
Yeah. And then if you get the regular crowds of 300 or 400, it can get real loud, particularly in the years that Blackburn's had success.
And they've had some great success over the years. They've won national titles.
Blackburn won the National Small College Athletic Association title 1982 and 85. They received 11 bids to that tournament between 1980 and 1992. They've collected 14 conference titles since 1980.
That's pretty amazing. Little old Blackburn.
Mm-hmm.
And they still play in the – have they been in that SLIAC conference all the time, or was there a different conference?
The SLIAC was founded in 1990. Mm-hmm. They played in the Prairie College Conference from 1953 until its disbandment in 1991. The Prairie College Conference, people remember classic games against such teams as Eureka.
Okay.
Illinois College in that for a while. Greenville's in that college in that conference. Principia and Greenville, I believe, are Blackburn's two most common opponents.
Well, I was going to say, if you're looking at rivals, mm-hmm. those probably have to be a couple of them.
Yeah, Greenville's been a long-time rival. Illinois College, McMurray College are rivals. Greenville, the rivalry's probably hotter in the past, although it's still around. you can find some really interesting little snippets on Blackburn basketball if you look hard enough, as I have.
And they're going to be having some various celebrations and recognitions this year.
That life's going
on
for several weeks.
You were
weeks.
Telling us off the air that the longest competed sport contiguously has been soccer.
Yeah, soccer. Men's soccer was first contested at Blackburn in 1954. Wow. Has been played continuously since. The 60th anniversary of that is coming up as well.
Yeah.
And, of course, Blackburn collected two national titles in that, 1981, 1983, in the Small College Athletic Association.
And Blackburn had a great year this year for the men's team.
Tied the school record for victories with 12.
Yeah.
12-6. And going in the final week of the season, we're actually leading all divisions in the NCAA in scoring average per game.
They were averaging over four goals a game.
About 4.2 or 4.3 a game.
And in terms of college soccer, that's like a baseball a batter hitting about 400.
Yeah,
maybe 450.
They rolled up a bunch of games, 9, 10, 11 goals this year.
Yeah.
And that's credit to Ian Gonsolin, the head coach here, as well.
Great.
And I should give a shout out to Carol Schaefer, the great head librarian of Blackburn College, who's been very supportive of research opportunities a long time. So she's supported a number of my efforts as well. So thank you, Carol.
Tom, what have you got on the horizon? I mean, we can talk to you about any subject matter, but what piques your interest and what might you get into here in the future?
I'm about ready to release a large large booklet photo history. You remember FDR and the New Deal,
mm-hmm.
the Civilian Conservation Corps? The Carnival had a CCC camp at what is now the Macomb County Fairgrounds from 1935 to 1941. It handled soil conservation. Most people know the CCC did such things as forestry, built park infrastructure. Right. Pierre Marquette's a good example of that. Linda Lovelace, who I've worked with before, has been very supportive of me. And I have put together it'll be a photo history of the camp. We'll have a book of 38 photos in it, which are beautiful photos. We were able to come across a lot of great information from descendants of men who are at the camp. We're going to have that released later this month. We're very excited about that. That book is called Soldiers with Picks and Shovels, the CCC Camp at Carnivale, Illinois. And it's not so much a local thing. It kind of analyzes the history of the CCC in relation to small towns.
Right. And what it meant to them
yes.
to keep
mm-hmm.
them alive and functioning.
Absolutely, yeah. The CCC was a tremendous thing. It was great for its time. It put food on a lot more tables, gave people work, gave people reason to something to do, and gave them reason to hope more than anything. And it was a great project.
Tom, where can people find all this information that you've gathered and put in book form? Where can they find all this stuff?
They can look at a lot of the fine local bookstores we have. They can give me a call. My home number is 217-854-3010, or look me up on someplace on the internet as well.
And you do still speak to various groups if you're,
yes.
you're available.
Yes, I do. If anyone's in need of a speaker, please look me up. I've offered a number of historical topics that seem to go over big with audiences and gets a lot of audience participation going. I've been extremely pleased with the response. I must be doing something right with that.
Yeah, that's terrific. That's terrific. And we always enjoy you coming over here and talking to us about whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. we and anytime we get together for sports and broadcasting ball games and such, it's always a fun time to have you along, Tom. I count you as a good friend and to keep up the good work, man. It's good to see youngsters interested in the historical aspect of the state of Illinois and the country.
I appreciate that, Terry. Considering I really recently turned 40, I appreciate you calling me a youngster.
Well, Uncle Ralph's young at heart too. He's a kid.
Yeah. Aren't we all though?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Got to be.
Yeah,
got to be to survive.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it is.
I don't feel 40. I know that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, keep up the good work, my friend, and always a pleasure. We'll get you back again next year here, and we'll talk about whatever you might be working on, and we'll probably see each other along the basketball tournament path here.
It's always my pleasure, Terry. Go Lugnuts.
No, go Lugnuts. That's right. How about those Red Wings? How are they doing?
They beat Colorado last night 5-2. People. You can't see us, but I'm wearing my Red Wings shirt here. Detroit, which has won 11 Stanley Cup titles, went through an unprecedented six-game losing streak recently, but they've seemed to ride the ship and will be Stanley Cup contenders once again. The longest playoff streak in pro team sports, 20 straight years in the playoffs for the Detroit Red Wings, with four Stanley Cups in that time.
It's pretty amazing, especially in the rough and tumble division they play.
Yes, and Tobin won't like that. Tobin, not being a Blues fan, he won't like that. But as we know, Tobin, the nighttime legend of WSIE, where we are existence to him.
He's walking on a cloud today because they beat the Blackhawks last night 3-0.
And he got the power play going. So
yep. Yep.
As I said about Tobin at the time, women want him and men want to be him.
And there you go. But that's another subject for another time. Thomas, yes. Thank you very much, Tom.
My pleasure, Terry.
Our guest, Uncle Ralph, we'll see you on Sports Insanity this Saturday. And that's it for our program brought to you today by the Plummer Funeral Home in Litchfield. For Tom, for Uncle Ralph, I'm Terry. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around, the man, the myth, and the legend. Yes, Earl Sorrell's coming up next in that opening market report.